It is a Fan Morning Show. Greg Giannotti, Paul Alexander, and Jim Colony. And today was supposed to be the day that you'd hear about an actual lockout as the CBA expired. But no, the deadline has been pushed 24 hours, so it'd be 11:59 tonight that it would expire. But hopefully, and you see some reports that it would be extended again 7 to 10 days so they can work some of this stuff out. Of course, the owners and the Players Association, there's so much stuff going on. We have to go to someone who's a lot smarter than we are. So we go out to our Rivertown hotline and welcome in local sports agent, local attorney, former NFL player, very smart man to break it down. And that's Ralph Sindrich. Ralph, good morning.
Hey, good morning. I don't know if I can live up to that statement there, but I'll sure give it a try. I'm down here in Miami, so if you hear of anything that is going on in the background, I'm in a hotel lobby, and if I sound more stupid than I normally am, it's because I had a lot of mojitos last night.
See, oh, hey now. He's down in Miami drinking mojitos. Of course he's a lot smarter than we are.
Absolutely.
Come on. All right, Ralph. So,
well, hey, you know, but I have to give a speech on this stuff down here at the University of Miami Law School, so I have to be up on a little bit. Well, there's a lot of misinformation out there that's going on. There's nothing unusual about this thing being extended. It happens in the negotiations all the time. It happened last time. Does it say that there is some progress? Yeah. Is it positive? Absolutely, it's positive. One of the great things about this go-round is that we have a mediator. I'm certified in some courses in mediation, and I've done it, and about 60% of it is actually contract negotiations, but having good mediators coming in is just something that is invaluable. I think it will help immensely. And right now, I think both sides want to get a deal done, particularly the NFL owners. I've taken a position all along that a lot of what they're doing is a bluff.
Now, Ralph, explain to us what it would mean if the union decertifies and why they would want to do that.
Well, you know, right now you have this massive TV contract. What are we talking about, $8 billion or whatever it is? And they're permitted to get together in this manner because they have an exemption under the Sherman Antitrust Act. So it's a broadcast exemption. They have that because they have a collective bargaining agreement that was negotiated by a union, a players association. You decertify, all of a sudden these boys getting together and making these agreements and excluding everybody else, that's conspiracy. That's treble damages, three times the amount of the actual damages. It's what happened last time. Hey, owners, it's the same judge. It's Judge Doty. You guys recall him. He's up in Minnesota. He's the guy that just blew a hole into the special master the last couple of days ago. If you read that report, that opinion, it is scathing, at least in my opinion, and it doesn't bode well at all for the NFL. In fact, I don't see the NFL coming out strong on any front.
And, Ralph, that's the question I wanted to ask. When that ruling was brought down, I said all along, DirecTV, among others, were going to fund the lockout. They made it really easy for the owners to continue business as usual, lock out the players, and not miss a beat. Now that that money is not going to get to the owners, how quickly will that make them negotiate, on a more fair level playing field?
Well, you know, it has to, and they breached their duty to the players. I mean, they had a collective bargaining agreement that they would work together in good faith to increase the revenues and all the rest, and then when they spun out, they went to the TV companies themselves and cut their own deal. And by the way, you're one of the few smart ones out there, and I don't say that at all in any way, but as a compliment, saying about DirecTV, because I'm listening to ESPN and all the rest, and I'm hearing these experts, and they don't have a clue, and they should, about DirecTV. Now, what happens here is, if there's a work stoppage, the NFL actually makes more money from DirecTV than it would have otherwise.
But now they don't, right? And so that doesn't that forces the NFL's hand in a sense.
It does, and it's only one hand. And look, you know, when you get into this, and we've all done it. I think public relations is against the NFL on all fronts. Everybody knows how profitable it is. I don't blame them for not wanting to show the books, but if you go to independent sources, Forbes magazine, some of the other ones, you see an average operating profit of at least $25 million for the last 5 years. You see a quadrupling of the team values, an average value of $1 billion, the highest being $1.6 billion, and the lowest, because the Minnesota Stadium, $836 million. This is a profitable business. It's never been like this. It had four times the ratings than did the Academy Award, the Super Bowl. And the last two times, you're talking about the highest ever in the history of TV. Why would you screw around with that other than greed or stupidity?
Talking to Ralph Sendrich here on the Fan Morning Show, who, like a lot of other agents, certainly has a big stake in what happens in terms of the NFL labor talks. Now, Ralph, is the mediator the star here? I know in the past when there have been accords finally reached that we, you know, Dan Rooney was right in the middle of this a couple of times. Are there any particular players that you can guess on either side that are the ones that are pushing everything toward the middle? Or do you think the mediator has pretty much taken control of all of it based on your experience?
I think the mediator has taken control of it. That's his job. He sets up the rules. He speaks with one side, goes in, speaks with another side, goes to the other, brings them all together, sees where they're at, separates them all again. So it is an ongoing process. But one thing on the clarification, too, I am really not, in what I'm doing with teaching international law and sports law and other things, I don't have a financial stake in this. I'm a consultant. Certainly I have a stake in the NFL. It's been very good to me. I want to see good things happen. But to answer your question, it's the mediator right now who has control. When you bring him in, you're expected to at least take his advice, not that some of them will. And by the way, one last thing is we sorely, sorely miss Dan Rooney. I mean, there's no doubt that he is one of the guys, has been one of the guys who helped make this deal the last time around. It's been very good. And the only argument the owners can give for taking another billion off the top, and by the way, it's not a split of 60-40. It's a split of 50-50 right now, because when you come into this deal, the owners are taking $1 billion right off the top. The owners want to take another billion off the top because of stadium concessions. Can you guess who might be at the head of that from down in Dallas?
Oh, yeah. I think we have an idea.
Yeah. I got a clue.
Hey, and I like the guy, but he's a bandit, you know, and he's a guy willing to take, and quite frankly, he could take a financial risk. Some of these boys out there, the owners, really can't do that, and some of them really have good intentions. They're good people, but the majority, unfortunately, but I really don't share that type of wisdom. You know, when you boil it all down, you have to think that even though many of the owners are arrogant and dumb, they're not stupid. They'll come to an agreement.
Ralph, if the union decertifies, and I believe the next step will then be the lockout from the owners of the players, does that mean at that point that things are really, really messy and that we're probably going to miss games, or is there a silver lining when all that stuff happens as well?
Yeah, you know what? It still can all go on. There's one other thing, too, that's never brought up. The owners really don't have to lock out. They can just cease doing business. I mean, if there's a decertification, I mean, all the off-season workouts are off, all the other things like that, and it puts into issue, question, a lot of NFL procedures that really we don't know about at this time.
Now, Ralph, talk about this six-month thing, I believe, too. If they don't decertify by, it's either today or tomorrow, they have to wait until September to be able to do that. Is that correct?
Yes. There are some provisions there, but you can do just about anything by agreement, by understanding, and that's what they're doing right now. They don't lose their cause of action there, but it does put a lot more pressure on them. And this all could be right now a ploy by management just to have this thing extended some. I will say, however, it certainly appears from the comments of everyone, owners, players, that there is progress. I've not quite seen, you know, if they're not coming out and saying, hey, we're making it, we're getting it done or whatever, but you're seeing some progress. I think the other thing, too, is when you have such notable and respected leaders in the NFL like Manning and Brady and whatever, as being named plaintiffs in a class action against the NFL, that has to stay, in my opinion, last a long time.
Now, Ralph, in your opinion, are the owners pretty much galvanized, or are they unified, or is there some splintering off in that group as well?
Guesswork here, because on both sides. For example, I represent Jeff Saturday, and of course, you know, I represent James Ferrier, who would do well in these negotiations also. But Jeff Saturday is the center, all-pro center from the Indianapolis Colts. Jeff is in there on the front line. I pass on all the messages that come to me, and there are a ton of them for Jeff. The fact of the matter is, Jeff is under, for lack of a better way of saying it, a gag order. So no one knows for sure. I mean, you can get a feel from the how the parties are talking, but everything that's going on right there, right now, is just normal negotiations for a new collective bargaining agreement.
Ralph, you don't know exactly what's happening, but you're someone who knows more than we do, and you've got some contacts and some gut feelings that I'm sure are better than our gut feelings. Right now, as things stand, are we going to miss any games in 2011?
No. I mean, I tell you what, I'd bet a lot of money on that one, and I'm not a betting guy. I don't bet because I lose a lot. But, no, I don't see that happening. Look, that's too hard to make up. And the idea, too, of bringing in this Bill Batterman from the NHL, to me, that's bravado. I mean, you know, big deal. You're going to bring him in. He broke they missed the season. To me, that's a move by a few of the owners that say, look, we're tough guys. And some of these people are reasonable, too. Now, I've dealt with Jeff Pash. In fact, the last case, I do a lot of expert witness work. O.J. McDuffie, he was the expert witness for the NFL. Decent guy. A guy who's very intelligent, can do a lot of different things. So you have some reasonable people on that side. Which you miss more than anything is the guy behind the scenes, almost like in the locker room owner, who can get to the people who everyone looks to, knows, and trusts their intellect and their knowledge of the game.
Ralph, great stuff. We love you on the show, and hopefully we'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Look forward to it, guys. Thank you so much for having me on this morning.
All right. Have a mojito for us.
Yeah, right, exactly. About 10 mojitos for us down in Miami. That's Ralph Sindrich. He's a local... Local player agent, of course, and a local attorney, and a man who knows what's going on here in Pittsburgh. And